around verse number one, I want you to say amen. All right, I'm glad y'all are there, okay? Now we're going to go back up into John chapter number 2, verse number 23, all right? And you help us out, Miss Carrie, up there on the screens. I got everybody to John chapter number 3, and we're going to read a good portion of John chapter number 3. But as I've told you and taught you in Bible college, and as I've tried to teach you here in church, while the Bible is the inspired Word of God, the verse divisions and chapter divisions aren't. All right. They were put in by the translators to help us to break down chapter, to keep a thought running or whatever. Here was one of those cases where the division of chapter was probably a little bit unfortunate. All right. And so we're going to go back up into John chapter number 2, and we're going to start in verse number 23, and we'll read just a few verses and then go right into John chapter number 3, verse number 1. But they tie together. All right. So in John 2 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed his name when they saw the miracles which he did." I want everybody to hear me, and we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school this morning. Most of the people that followed Jesus followed him because of the miracles. If you go and you break down his life, you'll find out that there was only 12 disciples that hung with him, and 11 of them was there with him at the end. None of them showed up at the cross with the exception of John. And so he did not have a large following as far as disciples. John chapter number 6 tells us that many of his disciples left him and would not ever return. And so you need to understand that a lot of people were following Jesus because of the miracles he performed. I need somebody to help me. If Jesus raised somebody from the dead, if a man raised somebody from the dead, you and I would be there. If he fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, we'd come check that out. I need somebody to help me. And that was the main reason people were going after Jesus. And as we'll see right here in the chapter, it's very relevant, all right? Now, we go to verse number 24. The Bible says this, "But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men." He knew their hearts. He knew what they were after. And they were after those miracles, those signs. And verse number 25, "And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." That ought to scare every single one of us. I'm thankful that God loves me, and I'm thankful that God knows me, but he knows what's in me. I need somebody to help me. What you're not telling everybody and what everybody can't see, God sees. The Bible says in John chapter number 3 and verse number 1, "There was a man of the Pharisees." These verses just go right along, because this man of the Pharisees, we're going to find out he was after Jesus for the same thing. The Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things or these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Now, Nicodemus shows up. We're told a few things about Nicodemus. One, we're told he's a Pharisee. All right? We're told that he's a Pharisee. Now, before we go and talk bad about the Pharisees, let's just understand that as far as the Pharisees, as this religious sect was back in this day and time, they had a lot of things right. They believed in the Old Testament, the inspired Old Testament. They believed in that. They believed in a coming Messiah. They may not have believed it was Jesus, but they believed in a coming Messiah. They believed in a resurrection. They believed in a sacrifice. All these things they believed in, all right? Now, as we look at this, I want you to understand that was who Nicodemus was. He was a part of the religious crowd. A matter of fact, he must have been pretty high up in it, because when he comes to Jesus, he says, "Hey, we know that thou art a teacher, a great teacher," all right? It's almost as if Nicodemus is trying to say, "Why are we divided? Why don't we just join up?" Is everybody with me? Now, we go in and we find out that he was a ruler of the Jews, which means that he had a standing with the Jews that made him a man of importance. Not only was he a Pharisee or a religious man, but he was a man that had somewhat of a standing with the Jewish community, because the Bible says that he was a ruler of the Jews. But we also know this man by the name of Nicodemus. God's going to break him down right here. Y'all stay with me, all right? God's going to break his life down right here, and he starts in verse number 3. Nicodemus comes to him and he says, hey, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do all the miracles that you do unless God is with him. And look at how Jesus answered him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, or unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now the Pharisees, they were interested in the kingdom of God. They wasn't interested in the cross. Is everybody with me? They was interested in a Messiah that would come and that would set up a millennial reign, a Messiah that would come and that he would take over and he would rule the world. And so Nicodemus comes as a Pharisee, and the very first thing Jesus does is knock that right on down. Is everybody with me? He said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He says, everything you're putting your faith in, everything you're putting your trust in, you will not see it except you be born again. Is everybody all right? Man, I need somebody to help me. Now we got to get into the Bible. Jesus didn't say, hey, Nicodemus, how are you doing? My name's Jesus. What's your name? Hey, is everybody all right? There wasn't no small talk. I mean, the first thing that we have coming out of Jesus' mouth, hey, look here, you ain't going to see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. I'm sure Nicodemus said, what? Listen, I mean, come on, y'all, help me. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I mean, all of a sudden, Nicodemus is like many others in scriptures. He wants to challenge Jesus. How can that be? How can a man be born again? Jesus says, he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We've gone from the kingdom of heaven to the kingdom of God. We're talking about God is telling him, he's saying, look, you have to be born again. So Nicodemus changes some things. Verse number six. Let me see where I'm at here. Verse number five. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Verse number eight, Jesus still speaking, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Jesus is basically telling him this. He's saying, you're not going to understand all there is to know about being born of the Spirit. Stay with me. He said, the wind blows where it wants to, and you don't even know where it comes from. I can attest to that. Be out on the golf course, and you're trying to figure out the wind. You're throwing grass up. Everybody with me? But you know it's blowing. Come on. Just don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. I need somebody to help me. How many hunters I got in the building set up for a deer and the wind go doing this right here? And you're like, I know the wind was supposed to be out of the north, but now it's in my face. And what, is everybody all right? Now it's in my back. Now, is everybody with me? It's one of those things that we know it's there. We can see the effects of it. But we don't know where it comes from or where it's going. I want you to think about that for just a few moments. So Jesus tells him, he says, it's like that with the Spirit. Verse number nine, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? So Jesus challenged him as a religious man, and now he's challenging him as a ruler of the Jews. He says, are you not a master? Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? You claim to be a ruler of the Jews and you're teaching them? And you don't even understand it? The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I want everybody to listen to me right here. That's still going on today. People are hearing the word of God, they're hearing the words of Jesus, and they're not receiving it. Oh, they're listening. They're coming to church, but they're not receiving. Is everybody all right? The Bible says this. It says in verse number 12, if I have told you earthly things, this is Jesus, and you believe not, how shall you believe me if I tell you heavenly things? He said, if you can't believe the earthly things that I've told you, how can you ever believe the heavenly things? And the Bible says in verse number 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Jesus saying there's no man in heaven at this time. He was telling the truth. Bible tells in Luke chapter number 16 that when those Old Testament saints died, they went to a place called paradise. Remember the story in Luke chapter number 16? The rich man died and in hell lift up his eyes. Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham, not into the abode of God. So at this moment, when Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, he said, no man's been in heaven. He says, and I'm the only one, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He says, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And so Jesus says this, everybody look at me. He said, I'm the authority on this. I ain't got time for preaching that, but I just want you to know, Jesus was letting him know, I am the authority on this teaching. Is everybody with me? So he says this in verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now this was something Nicodemus should have known, knowing the Old Testament, believing the Old Testament to be inspired word of God. He knew about the story of the serpent and Moses found in the book of Numbers. And he knew about the fiery serpents that were on the ground and the bronze serpent that was put on a pole and lifted up. And the Bible says that all them that was bit by one of the fiery serpents, all they had to do was look up at that serpent on a pole. Is everybody with me? And they would be saved. And Jesus said, just as they had to do that in the wilderness, he says, the Son of Man must be lifted up. I need somebody to help me. And for you to find healing, you're going to have to look up to him. He says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now look at this, our favorite verse. I mean, I don't care if you ain't a Christian, you know this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus continues this thought and he says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus says, I'm not here to condemn the world. He says, but that the world through him might be saved. Stay with me. He says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So look at this passage of scripture again this morning. I don't know, maybe it's been a while since you read John chapter number 3. Maybe it's been a while since you read this story. There were some things that I looked at in this story and I wanted to bring out. I entitled this thing, You Must Be Born Again. Say, preacher, we all know that. We all know that. But you know what? Nicodemus should have known that, and apparently he didn't. Even from the scripture that he had in the Old Testament, he should have known that you must be born again. That's why Jesus said, aren't thou a master, and thou knowest not? And yet, we find many people today that they have all the boxes to check off when it comes to salvation, except they're not saved. Oh, stay with me. I want to show you a few things, if I can, out of Scripture. I notice, first off, the candor of this meeting. I notice this. Jesus was basically telling Nicodemus, there is only one way. You and I have Scripture where Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John chapter number 14. But did you know this? As we look at this passage of Scripture, did you know that Jesus was telling him that very thing right here? There was only one way he was going to have to look to Jesus. The Son of Man was going to have to be lifted up and everyone was going to have to believe on him. Now, what do you say, preacher, the candor of this meeting? Because Nicodemus came to Jesus and he was sincere. I need somebody to help me. He was sincere. The Pharisees, all the people in chapter number 2, they were following Jesus because of the miracles, but Nicodemus came to him at night, and Nicodemus was sincere. He really wanted to get to know this guy. He really wanted to get to know Jesus. He really wanted to be a part of Jesus' ministry. He was sincere about it. I noticed this about him too. He was religious. Everybody help me now. He had everything. He knew the Bible. He knew the Old Testament. At that time he had the Old Testament. He knew the Old Testament. He was a Pharisee. But yet he wasn't saved. Everybody look at me. He was not saved. But yet he knew the Bible. He could quote some verses. He could tell you things that happened in the Old Testament. But according to the scripture, he was not saved. He must be born again. You know, there's a lot of people today running around that are real religious. I need somebody to help me. They're real religious. They got their rules on how you can come to their church, and you got to have the right dress. I'd put a tie on, but I think they're of the devil. Is everybody all right? They got to have the right dress. Can't come to church unless you got a jacket on. Is everybody all right? Can't come to church. Hey, they got all the religious things down. They know when to say amen. Preacher says fried chicken. They say amen. Preacher says he rose again on the third day. Amen. Nicodemus had all the, you could check it off, he was religious. He was religious. He studied the Word of God. He knew the Word of God front and backwards, but the Bible says that he was lost. He came to Jesus as a lost man. He was sincere. He really wanted to know about it. He was religious, but he was lost. Is everybody all right? I notice this. His pedigree didn't matter. See, Nicodemus, he was a ruler of the Jews, which means he was a part of the Jews. And according to them, only people that went to heaven was Jews. But Jesus let him know right quick. Is everybody all right? For God so loved the world. Ain't about your pedigree. I need somebody to help me. Some of you are counting on getting to heaven because your granny prayed you in. Some of you are counting on getting to heaven because your mom and daddy drug you to church. Some of you are counting on going to heaven because you've been at church your whole life. I heard people tell me before, I've been saved my whole life. No, you ain't. Not according to the Bible. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Somebody say amen. According to Jesus, except a man be born again. Except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. That means he's not getting saved. And so it doesn't matter what your pedigree is, what your mama did for you, your daddy did for you, your granny and grandpa did for you. It doesn't matter what your wife had done for you. My wife prayed for me. I wouldn't even be in church if it wasn't for my wife. But my wife didn't save me. Her prayers didn't save me. Bible says Jesus called him a master. And he says, art thou a master of Israel and thou knowest not? So we know that education doesn't matter. Religion doesn't matter. Sincerity doesn't matter. Y'all stay with me. Religion doesn't matter. Sincerity doesn't matter. A pedigree doesn't matter. An education doesn't matter. He had an education when it came to the Bible. He had an education when it came to the Jews. He was a ruler of the Jews. His race didn't matter. His money didn't matter. His popularity didn't matter. I need somebody to hear me. We're walking around in a day and time. We was talking about it in Sunday school this morning when Paul was addressing the church there at Corinth. They were looking at people and basing their spiritual walk on what they had and the blessings and all. Hey, listen here. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care who your mom and daddy is. I don't care what church you attend or what church you have attended. Except you be born again. Did y'all notice? Has anybody else notice that Jesus just kind of point blank said it? He didn't beat around the bush. Everybody look at me. Y'all looking at me mad right now. Y'all upset and everything else. Looking at me, got that little, I can't believe he's preaching something like this. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. If you're going to get mad at somebody, get mad at Jesus. Oh, preacher, we can't get mad at Jesus now. Then why can you get mad at me when I'm telling you what he said? Except you be born again. cannot see the kingdom of God. Everybody, listen to me. Youngins, mamas, daddies, grandpas, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, I don't care who you are in this building this morning. My desire in my heart, I promise you, why I get up every Sunday, why I come to church every Wednesday, why I come to church every Sunday night, why I come to work, why I pray, is asking God to save you. I can't do it for you. But today, you can be born again before you leave out of here. We see the candor of this meeting. We see the confusion of this meeting. Nicodemus was confused about the man. First off, he thought Jesus was just a rabbi. We know that thou art a great teacher. Do you know that the perception of Jesus among many people is that he was just a good man? The perception of a lot of people when it comes to Jesus was that he was a great teacher. The perception of a lot of people was maybe he was a great preacher. But what you need to understand, and what Nicodemus didn't understand, was this. He was talking to the Son of God. The one the Bible says shared fellowship with God before the foundations of the world. The one the Bible said that God loved more than anything else. Do y'all understand that? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten, the greatest gift that He could give. God gave it to you and I. It was God Himself coming to die in mine and your place. He took upon Him our sins, carried Him to the cross, just as the serpent back in Moses' day. Here's a little nugget for you, if you will. That serpent back in Moses' day was bronze. Bronze, anywhere in your Bible, it is a typology of judgment. The very thing, the very fiery serpents, a bronze image was made, the judgment of sin, and those that looked upon the judgment of sin was saved. I need somebody to hear me. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for you and I. He was the judgment of sin, our sin placed on Him, and every one of us that looks to Him and believes be saved. But Nicodemus had the wrong perception of who Jesus was. You may be sitting in here this morning and you have the wrong perception of who Jesus was or who Jesus is. He's not just your buddy, your pal, your friend. This is the same God who created us, who breathed life into us. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 16 that it was Jesus who created us. All things were created by Him and for Him. Revelation tells us the same thing, that it was created by Jesus. So that means when we go back to the account in Genesis chapter number 2, where God formed man out of the dust of the ground, it was Jesus that was forming man. The Bible says God breathed life into him. That breath came from Jesus. The confusion. He was confused about the man. He was confused about the message. He thought it was all about the Jews and all about the Jews going to heaven. And Jesus set him straight, for God so loved the world. Somebody needs to shout. Because if God didn't so love the world, we might have been left out. But the Bible says God so loved the world. I don't know about you, but I'm not a Jew. And so I'm very thankful that that verse is thrown in there. Because for God so loved the world is me. And that whosoever believeth in Him is me. See, he was confused about the man. He was confused about the message. And he was confused about the meaning of it all. How in the world can somebody be born again? And Jesus said it only happens by God. He must be born of water and of the Spirit. And that's a big S. Is everybody with me? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's a work of God. It's not my work. It's not your work. Say, preacher, but I'm a good person. It doesn't matter that you're a good person. The Bible says this. It says that you must be born again. The Bible says you got to be born by the Spirit. Well, I just decided today I'm going to be saved. It don't work that way. You must be born again. The candor, of this meeting, the confusion of this meeting, now the clarification of this meeting, and we're done. Can y'all believe that? Jesus gave clarification on the word in verse number 14 when he talked about Moses. He took Nicodemus back to the Old Testament and showed Nicodemus a truth from the Old Testament, something that he was very familiar with. So he got clarification from the word on the serpent of Moses. But he got clarification on the love of God. It wasn't about the Jews anymore. For God so loved the world. I'm thankful for the love of Jesus. I'm thankful for the grace extended to us because God loved us. Jesus clarifies this out in probably the greatest verse in our Bible. A verse of love. God pouring his heart out and letting you know that he loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son. I've got two boys. My oldest one's sitting back here behind me. My youngest one's in the Marine Corps. I got a daughter. She sang for us. None of my kids. None of them. Everybody look at me. I'm not giving up any of them for you. I love you. But if I have to choose between my children and you, you're going to lose every time. Now, mama's a different story. I'll get rid of the kids. Me and mama make new ones. Everybody all right? Grandbabies are okay. They're not going anywhere, all right? No love. Listen to me. I need everybody to look at me. This world is searching for somebody that loves them, and we're looking in all the wrong places. Multiple relationships, people getting divorced, all these things, looking for somebody that'll love them, not realizing that nobody will love you like Jesus. Nobody love you. You won't find a greater love than what Jesus has for you. What greater love than what God has for you. He gave his only begotten son into the hands of angry sinners and watched them crucify him. Why? Because he loved you. Because he loved you. Knowing who you are. Knowing what's in a man. He did that for you. Jesus clarified the word for Nicodemus. He clarified the love. He clarified the gift. Told him, I'm the gift. I'm the gift. I must be lifted up. And he was. And he clarified the reward. The kingdom of God. Eternal life. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this morning. You must be born again. I don't care who you are in the building. Listen to me, teenager. I don't care who you are in the building. I don't care who your parents are. I don't care what they do around here. You must be born again. Mom, dad, listen to me. I don't care how much you enjoyed in the church and how long you've been here at the church. You must be born again. Nicodemus, a great ruler. Nicodemus, a great Pharisee, a religious leader of his day. Came to Jesus, and Jesus, the very first thing out of his mouth to Nicodemus wasn't, hey, you do a good job. I'm proud of you. Got a lot of followers, do you? His first thing out of his mouth to Nicodemus was, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. How important was it? Come on, y'all, help me. How important was it for that message to get out to that man and to us this morning? If that's how Jesus handled Nicodemus, how do you reckon he'd handle the church service this morning? What do you think he'd say? I think he'd say something like this. You can turn in your Bibles anywhere because I'm all good. Hey, but I believe he'd say this. Except you be born again. You'll not see the kingdom of God. So this morning, Dalton's heading to the piano, and this is the invitation. You know where your standing is with God. Sunday school this morning, we went over a verse that said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. So many people are claiming to be Christians today. They have the religious part down. They know verses of the Bible. They have the popularity down. They've got friends all in the religious community. They may even have the pedigree down. They might have a mama and a daddy that served in church their whole life. The question to you this morning is, do you know where you'd spend eternity if you was to die? Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. I want to ask you that question. Just me and you. Nobody else is looking around. If you were to die sitting in that seat this morning, where you're at, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Say, preacher, I don't know. I don't know if I go to heaven. I don't know, preacher. If that's you this morning, I want you to do me a favor and make eye contact with me. I'm not asking you to. Thank you. You can put your head back down. Is there anybody else? I see it. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Be honest with me. Preacher, I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. Thank you. You can put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to thank you. You can put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to send anybody to you. I'm asking you to be honest with me. I want to know how to close the service. I'm fixing to thank you. You can put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. Anybody else? Anybody else? You in the balcony, just raise your hand up. I can't see you up there too good. Say, preacher, I don't know if I go to heaven. Preacher, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Just lift your hand right up if you're in the balcony or if you're on the floor and I didn't see you. I'm going to pray just like I said I would. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you this morning, Lord, thanking you for a wonderful church service. God, thanking you for a time of worship. Lord, as we sing your songs, Lord, as we sing the hymns, God, I'm thankful for the hymns. I'm thankful for the way you speak to us through them. Lord, I'm thankful for the choir and how they sing and, Lord, worship. Lord, how they bring us into your presence, Lord. How they get our hearts prepared, Lord, for your word and the preaching of your word. But Lord, as we close out the service, Lord, we've gone over Scripture, knowing not that somebody else preached, but what you preached. And according to your word, according to your mouth, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Lord, there's individuals in this room this morning that have already acknowledged that they do not know where they stand with you. That if they were to die sitting in the chair that they're sitting in, they do not know where they would spend eternity. God, I got good news for them today. Lord, we can help them. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would give them the courage to step out. Give them the courage to take hold of their eternal life. Lord, I pray today would be the day of salvation for them. With head still bowed and eyes closed, I'm down here on the floor, right here in the front. You don't have to look up. But if you looked up at me a while ago and said, preacher, I do not know where I'd spend eternity. I'm asking you. I'm begging you. I'm begging you. You hear me? I'm begging you to surrender your life right now. Come down here. Take me by the hand. Let me get somebody. Take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Not what a religion says, not what a denomination says. I'll show you, or somebody else will show you from God's Word, how you can be saved right now. How you can be sure when you lay your head down on a pillow tonight that your eternal destination will be heaven. We can show you that from God's Word, not from a Baptist manual. If you're willing, let us do that this morning. Miss Lauren, grab your Bible if you will, please. Nobody's looking around. Jake, grab your Bible. Anybody else? There were several that looked up at me. Come on now. I'm telling you, I wouldn't ask you to do something I didn't. September 28, 1997, I sat on the second row in the middle of the church, about right in here. God was speaking to me so audibly, I'm telling you, in my heart, I felt like God was saying, hey, boy, this is it. You've played games your whole life. Now, today is the day of salvation. What I'm trying to tell you is I got up out of my seat and I walked down to an aisle, to a preacher. Somebody took a Bible and showed me how to be saved. What I'm asking you isn't, I'm not asking you to do something I ain't never done. I'm asking you to do what I did. And I'm telling you, God will change your life. Say, preacher, I don't know that I can do all this. I don't know that I can be all this. You ain't got to be. God will take you just as you are. Man, I sat in that church. I had beer in my truck. I was waiting on the service to get over so I could go drink. I had skull can in my back pocket. I had cigarettes over the visor of my truck. I had a filthy mouth and a bad attitude and walked right down the aisle straight into the arms of Jesus. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is that God doesn't care who you are. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What you need to know this morning is that God commended His love towards us and that while we were yet sinners, while we were still in our sin, Jesus died for us. And though the wages of sin is death, listen, the gift of God, Jesus Christ, is eternal life. Is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How do I do that, preacher? I'm glad you asked. The Bible says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Doesn't say you might be saved. Doesn't say there's a possibility you get saved. The Bible says it shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why leave? Why leave today when Jesus is saying, come unto me. Come unto me. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for this morning. God, I'm thankful, Lord, that you're long-suffering, you love us. So much you died for us. You love us so much that when we reject you, Lord, you still pursue us. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we walk out of here clear hearts, clear minds. Lord, I pray that you were honored today, that you were lifted up. Lord, I'm believing your word, that it will not return void. And Lord, that if you be lifted up, you'll draw all men to you. Lord, if the service ends, somebody needs to get this right. God, I pray in Jesus' name.